You're joining us online. We're in the Anchorage LIO. That is the temporary Anchorage LIO. It is 2:06 p.m. With me here this afternoon, Senator Giesel, Senator Meyer, Senator-elect Costello, Representative Costello today, Representative Holmes, Representative Kurt Olson, Representative Hawker, Representative Lynn Gaddis, and those are the elected officials in the room. Could, if you're online, could you identify yourself so that we can know who's online with us?
Senator Mike Clayton.
One at a time, please. Senator Dunleavy, are you there?
Yes.
Representative Nagyak.
Senator Machicki.
Senator Machicki, thank you.
Bob Herron.
Representative Herron, thank you.
Senator Faircloth, Doug Gardner and Emily Nauman from Ledge Legal are here for the beginning of the call at your request.
Thank you, Mr. Gardner. I'm trying to get my meeting minute notes up because I'm sure the press at some point is going to ask, as well as other Alaskans who participated. So if you just give me a second, I will be ready to roll. Okay. And this again, if I didn't say it, is Senator Faircloth. Today, the LBNA committee is facilitating two identical meetings in order for the legislature to receive a confidential briefing from the current administration on the Alaska LNG project. Everyone who is participating in these meetings today has signed the confidentiality agreement required to receive the briefing. As a legislature, we passed SB 138, and we anticipated that the legislature would need to be briefed on sensitive information to protect Alaska's interests in the LNG project on behalf of the people of our state. It is critical that this information remain confidential so we, as the state participating in the project, aren't tipping our hands to the producers or other partners on our strategy and therefore undermining the state's interests. It is our job as a legislature to be informed and understand why certain decisions and commitments have been made. Understanding the work that has been done to date for the future development of the LNG project, as well as to provide input on the process and decision-making. As you know, a confidentiality agreement is meant to share confidential information, information some may not receive by choice or otherwise. But for those of us who do receive it, it is our job to determine how to use that information to make decisions on behalf of Alaskans. With that said, the briefing will be taking place in executive session to protect the confidential information that will be shared with us. Representative Hawker.
Madam Chair, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee enter executive session as provided by Uniform Rule 22B1 and B3, since the meeting will involve a discussion of matters that the immediate knowledge of which would adversely affect the finances of a government unit.
Thank you, Representative Hawker. We will be taking it at ease to enter into executive session. Those members and staff that have signed the confidentiality agreement may remain in the room and on teleconference. We're at a brief at ease. For 26 p.m., it is still November 28th. That's a Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, and we've had a great group of individuals with us today. We had a morning meeting that was identical to afternoon session that started here at 2 o'clock. At the morning meeting, I identified all offices and staff that participated. I identified all of the elected officials before we went into executive session, but I want to make sure that the general public has knowledge of those participants from other offices as well. From Representative Nagyak's office, Meriden Barrio was online until 3:56 p.m. in executive session. Pete Fellman from Senator Cliff Bishop's office was in executive session through 4:05 p.m. Representative Nagyak never joined us in executive session, but we thought he was online for a while, but it was his staff. And from Representative Steve Thompson's office, we had Jane Pearson with us. I believe those are all the people that I didn't identify as. I'm sorry. Thank you, Larry. And in the room, we have Larry John Wood from Senator Mike Dunleavy's office. and Larry Siemens from Senator Michikki's office was joining us online, as well as Senator Michikki.
Madam Chair, also I believe we did not identify Robert Urban from my office. This is Representative Holmes.
Thank you, Representative Holmes. Robert Irvine from Representative Holmes' office was with us the entire executive session. Thank you so much. We do have a presentation, Commissioner Balash. Just because we are on the record and our secretaries are trying to record who is speaking, if you could make sure as we transition from one person to the next that you identify yourselves first so that our recorders have a little bit easier time.
Absolutely.
Preparing meeting minute notes. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is Joe Balash. I'm the Commissioner for the Department of Natural Resources. I'm joined by my colleague from the Department of Revenue.
For the record, Madam Chair, I'm the Angela Rodell, the Commissioner for the Department of Revenue.
And what we have here for you this afternoon is a update on AKLNG from the perspective of our two agencies. The Alaska Gas Line Development Corporation is a key part of carrying Alaska's interest in the AKLNG project, but what we're doing here for you today is providing an update as to the status of things on the project. It is certainly our estimation that we are on track to maintain the schedule that was laid out when you all considered and deliberated on SB 138 earlier this year. We certainly have enjoyed the tremendous progress that has been made this year. The state's project team's top priorities are to ensure that the state's interests are fully protected and that the complete spectrum of opportunities and benefits, as well as the costs and risks, are appropriately understood, thoroughly assessed, and well communicated to decision makers such as yourselves. The team that we have assembled is, I think, one that the state of Alaska has not benefited from prior, and the makeup of that team, the contributions each one can make with specific expertise, is going to serve the next administration very well. The and hopefully, ultimately, all of you. We're now well positioned to guide the project, influence the project from a technical perspective, and ultimately, when combined with the good faith and A-team participation from all of the other parties, believe there's not a good reason out there to slow down or otherwise derail this project. We have a good project. We have a fundamentally sound project, and the opportunities in front of the state are tremendous. And while we're working very well with all of the other parties, we need to maintain the expertise we have today in order to stay on top of and verify all that our partners are doing to advance the project as well. We're now in phase two of the project. We're in pre-FEED. This particular phase is scheduled to go until the end of calendar 15. There's a work plan and budget that's been identified and approved. And at this point, we have most of 2015 identified and approved for the project work, and we are moving forward among all the parties with a work plan and schedule that will facilitate the legislature's approval of key agreements that will enable all parties to move into the FEED phase in the first quarter of 2016. In order to get to that point, though, a lot of work has to take place over the next 15 months, and we're going to walk you through some of that here in a general sense that can be conveyed to the public. And we think that this schedule is feasible workable. We've got the right resources available. The other parties have resourced their respective teams appropriately. And as long as the alignment that's been achieved to date is maintained, things should stay on track and move forward in early 16.
Madam Chair.
Representative Hawker.
Thank you, ma'am. Joe, segueing off of this point, or Mr. Commissioner, sir, segueing off of this point, you have a very clear message here about the importance of maintaining a line. We've come a long way to get here.
Mm-hmm.
And as you've indicated with this particular slide, how this is still an ambitious schedule. It has a lot of challenges ahead of it. And you today given us both this public briefing, which really lays out the where we've been, how we got here, where we're going, I think extremely well. You've given a confidential legislative session. You've given us a great deal of the granular information that is backing this process. I think it's very, very critical for us to understand as legislators in moving this project forward, as it's something that's really been created under our auspices. Question for you and concern is, with the transition of administrations, while you're giving us an sort of an exit interview here, have you been afforded the opportunity to give the incoming administration an orientation interview?
Not as, through the chair, Representative Hawker, not as of yet. My tenure ends at noon on Monday. I believe the same is true for Commissioner Rodell. But I will continue to make myself available, you know, as an Alaskan. I feel that's my responsibility. And we'll see if and when they are ready to talk.
Thank you.
I would note that Governor-elect Walker has indicated he wants to keep AKLNG on track. What we are attempting to do here is to show you and the public what on track looks like. It's a healthy pace. And I hope they buckle up. This is the project schedule that you have seen in previous presentations, identifying the beginning, the middle, the end, starting with all the Point Thompson settlement work that went on back at the beginning of the Parnell administration, concept selection, and the decision to go into pre-feed, which occurred upon completion of or passage of SB 138, its enactment, and the signing of documents back in late June. So we are in pre-feed. Total work plan and budget of $500 million will be complete by the end of calendar 15, with the opportunity to move into feed in the first quarter of 2016. That feed decision is going to be a roughly $2 billion decision between the parties. And because that price tag is so large, it is very likely to be treated very similar to an FID decision. In other words, they are unlikely to push the go button unless they believe they are going to FID. From there, it will depend on how long the federal permitting processes take. Is it going to be 2 years? Is it going to be 3 years? You know, we'll just have to wait and see. And once you get through that feed phase, that permitting phase, construction should take a little more than 5 years. And depending upon what part of the calendar that begins, it could take 6 years just because of the seasonal windows associated largely with the movement of modules into the North Slope for the treatment plant. So as soon as 2023, we could see first gas. 2025 would still be within a reasonable window that you would describe as on time. Hopefully not much longer than that. In the near term, We've attempted to put together a calendar that shows these next 15 months in a way that helps provide a measuring stick to see if, in fact, the pace is being kept and the project on track. There are a variety of agreements, enabling agreements, that will allow all of the parties to move into FEED. And we've got a listing here of those agreements. Durability, otherwise known as a fiscal agreement, property tax, expansion principles, gas supply, disposition, that's the sale of the LNG, and then the service agreements that the state of Alaska is going to need to have with TC and or AGDC to provide project services for our 25% of the equity in the project. In a parallel process, and we've tried to identify that above, the Department of Natural Resources is going to make certain decisions that relate to our leases and the rights and prerogatives we enjoy under those leases. SB 138 enabled the commissioner to fundamentally alter those leases and limit our ability to switch from in value to in kind or vice versa. And there are valid commercial reasons behind all of that, but the section of statute was created in a section of Senate Bill 138 that doesn't become effective law until January 1 of 2015. So the expectation is that in early 2015, a proposal will be brought forward by the parties, all of the lessees together, and a process then will take place whereby the commissioner makes certain determinations with regard to long-term LNG prices, project costs, and an evaluation of what the NPSL and sliding scale royalties would have provided for the state, and then convert that into a flat value that will be added to those specific leases so that we have a fixed royalty amount slope-wide, a fixed royalty amount for those specific leases so that we have some predictability as to what our share of gas is going to be once in operation. Generally speaking, we expect that in order to be successful, a special session will need to be scheduled for October. And working backwards from that, there should be about 60 days of an opportunity, a window, for the legislature, its consultants, and the public to review the documents and review the agreements that you would be asked to approve. So that working backwards through the calendar gets you to August. In order to meet that August deadline for things going public, you really need to have the agreements finalized by July. I can tell you from our own past experience, simply getting to closure on agreements at the working level is one thing. Getting all the way through corporate reviews and approvals in places like Dallas and London takes a while. And so you've got to have a few... So you've got to have a few weeks for that process to take place. So you really need to be thinking July is when you've got your agreements in hand. And to get to agreements, it sure helps to have term sheets. So term sheets by the end of March, early April, is a sign that you are on track and you are going to be able to make the rest of the calendar. So... down below, you see the Department of Revenue working through and with the Municipal Advisory Project Board. There are some aspects of the fiscal system, the property tax specifically, that need to continue to be worked as well. And there will be a report coming from that board in the middle of December. And that board continues to exist beyond that report. In fact, they will continue to hopefully hold meetings and be another forum for discussions on certain aspects of the project. So it's a busy calendar, and one that I'm confident that can be met if people get in and get busy, particularly if the incoming leadership is able and willing to rely on the team that we have assembled within and among the agencies. The summer field season has been completed. You can see from this map the work was concentrated between Live and Good and an area close to Big Lake in the Mat-Su Valley. The exact route, the final leg of the project will go to reach Nikiski is undetermined, so there will need to be some additional work done there. But I would point out for members here, this corridor has been highly studied by the folks over at AGDC in support of the ASAP work, and there's been a very good deal of cooperation and data sharing between AGDC and AKLNG, and I'm certain that both parties have benefited from that sharing of information. I will highlight for all of you one aspect here that you can't really make out on this map, but there is a park that is a state park, the Denali State Park, that statutorily doesn't have a purpose that would serve the needs of either project. There's likely going to need to be a change to that statute in order for rights of way and permits in that particular section of the state. This slide really is intended to help identify the regulatory work that's going on with FERC. The project, AKLNG, has submitted the pre-file paperwork and, in fact, has already submitted draft resource reports 1 and 10. There are 13 reports required under the FERC process for a Section 3 project, and the rest of the resource reports are intended to be filed at the FERC by the end of January. Now, prior to those draft reports being filed, there's a process whereby each of the project sponsors, including the state, will have an opportunity to review those drafts, and that's what's laid out here in the sort of flags and boxes. The agency personnel that will be responsible for these reviews need to be on task and abiding by what are admittedly very short review periods, and really only looking for major red flags, because these reports that get submitted are going to be draft. And there will be an opportunity for them to be revised over the course of the next year. So the reason I'm bringing this one up in particular is that if everything goes according to schedule, the draft resource reports are submitted to the FERC by the end of January. FERC and all of its associated federal agencies, state agencies, will do some reviews, provide some feedback then back to the project that will help shape the summer field season in 2015. If for some reason there is a delay in the filing of these resource reports beyond January 31st, that delay will in turn delay the feedback. If the feedback is delayed, the project may not be able to alter its summer field season and collect information that will be necessary for a complete application in the spring of 2016. So, this is one of those seemingly mundane yet very important tasks to be completed, especially during this transition phase, you know, before the new administration gets its boots all the way on the ground.
Madam Chair, if I could add one comment.
Commissioner Rodell.
For the record, Commissioner Rodell, Commissioner of the Department of Revenue. One of the resource reports will be resource report number 5. This is the report that's going to outline all the socio and economic impacts on the state and communities as a result of this project. This is an opportunity for Alaskans and communities to make their voice heard, and this is the report to which the Municipal Advisory Group is looking to determine impact payments, and that the project will be looking to make determinations about impact payments as well. So one of the things we want to make sure is that communities get their voice heard, because this will become a very important part of how the project upholds and moves through the impacts that the construction of this project will have going forward.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Slide 8 details the state agency gas team. What you don't see here are the personnel from TransCanada or the personnel from Alaska Gas Line Development Corporation. So these are just the individual employees and contractors for the Departments of Natural Resources and Revenue. And you can see we have at the top here the commissioners and our deputies. And then in that middle collection is the leadership team for the effort. And then below them are a bunch of sub-teams that work on specific topics. And you'll see some duplication. Some people wear more than one hat. But really, I think what I would hope to convey with this particular chart is that, you know, you can remove Commissioner Rodell and myself, and there's plenty of continuity and capacity to keep things on track. And as long as that's the case, there's no reason that the schedule we've described earlier can't be maintained. If you start to dig too deep into this chart and make changes, I don't see how you can avoid impacts to the schedule. On AKLNG, there are a number of working teams and sub-teams, the parties, the sponsor parties, are actively progressing the principles that are in the heads of agreement that we signed all the way back in January that formed the basis for SB 138 and has carried us through today. The heads of agreement continues to be a guiding document, and the commitments made there remain, and the parties continue to work in good faith in pursuit of those objectives. So we have the work groups laid out here, as well as other more specific teams that are tackling the finer points of things like the regulatory structure and tax implications. And then finance and property tax get their own special call out for the Department of Revenue, and I'll let Commissioner Rodell just give a quick update there.
Thank you. For the record, Angela Rodell, Commissioner, Department of Revenue. First off is the financing plan. We have an interim draft report due to the legislature the first day of session starting in 2015. That report is underway. Lazard was hired to be the consultant preparing that report. And then in accordance with new federal rules, we also retained an independent registered municipal advisor for Southwest. They are working very hard on putting together the spectrum of options for the state in terms of both what state financing would look like for financing its piece of this project,
but also looking at what the risks and possibilities are for having other parties within the state participate, whether it's individuals or Native corporations or the other parties that were identified under SB 138. This is a draft interim report, and then once you are ready to move into making the decisions we've talked about before, the Department of Revenue will deliver a final financing plan based on some of the feedback given back about what things should be off the table and what things should be reconsidered. In terms of property tax and impact payments, as we've said repeatedly, Municipal Advisory Gas Project Review Board continues to meet. The first recommendations are due December 15th in accordance with both the administrative order and SB 138. We have a tremendous amount of information on our website with regard to the work they've done to date. I want to, again, publicly commend this group for doing such a fantastic job in speaking collegially and recognizing the varied interests each of those communities, both within the project geographic area and outside that geographic area, what that means. And so I think you'll be very pleased to see the level of detail and the amount of work they've done. So with that, I'll turn it back to Commissioner Balash.
I want to close with discussion about confidentiality, and I want to thank you, Madam Chair, for working with us to get an agreement in place that allowed us to make this presentation today. It's difficult to explain why this is so important, but given the fact that the state of Alaska is endeavoring to take on an equity role in a project this big and this important to the state's future, we've done a lot of things that are a little unique in trying to move forward, including the way in which SB 138 contemplates the negotiation of agreements by the executive branch and the ratification of those agreements by the legislature. And we want to include the legislature in the development of these agreements. The last thing in the world that we all need is for some large, complicated agreement to be handed out and landed on your desks and have you and the public told, hey, vote on this. You've got a couple months, get it done, and we got a project, no muss, no fuss. That would be unfair to you as legislators. It would be unfair to the public, and so to prevent that sort of occurrence, we have within the language of the bill included provision for confidential briefings by the executive branch to the legislative branch. And there are things that we need and our replacements need to be able to come talk to you about and identify where our options are, in which places do we have to make a decision to go left or right. And getting your input is critical to making a decision or a series of decisions that will provide a product that you all can have confidence in and ultimately the public can. And this really is not about a negotiation being conducted by the Parnell administration or the Walker administration or some other administration. This is about a negotiation with the people of Alaska. And you are the elected representatives and senators of those people. And having the ability to confer across bodies, across branches, really, to discuss the things that are important to the state without having any of our counterparties listening in is important. And those counterparties include the other project sponsors, the leaseholders at Prudhoe and Point Thompson, as well as the buyers of the LNG. Anybody who's going to be sitting across the table from us could listen in to a public discussion and compromise our ability to maximize the value for the people of Alaska. The potential we have here is incredible. And given where oil prices are today, every dollar we can make on gas is important. So we have to be vigilant and vicious in those negotiations. Keeping in mind, of course, the need to be aligned and working to find win-win solutions to the challenges this project does face. I'm hopeful that the progress that has been started here can continue. And as long as our replacements are looking for win-wins, I think you all are going to be just fine. And I want to thank you all for the work you've done to get us to this point. And I look forward to being an observer in the future.
Thank you. I have two comments, or two folks waiting in line, but I just wanted to extend on behalf of the LBNA committee and those participating our gratitude for the hard work that your team, the LNG, Alaska LNG project team, has put forth to benefit Alaskans. I know everyone doesn't see everything exactly the same way, but good debate is healthy for all things. And so I just wanted to go on record and a personal thank you, Commissioner Balash, Commissioner Rodell, certainly Deputy Commissioner Pulowski interfaced with the legislative body over the last session, as did each of you. Previously this morning, we had Deputy Commissioner Bob Swenson, and this afternoon we have Ike in the audience, too, from the LNG project team. And I just wanted to say a public thank you. And Alaskans can benefit from your hard work. It's our next step to make. Representative Holmes, followed by Representative Hawker.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to underscore a few of the things that Commissioner Balash was saying about. I know there's been a lot of discussion in the public sphere about this idea of confidentiality. And I think all of us up here at this table, as well as the people testifying and in the audience, understand that this is an Alaska project, as Commissioner Balash said. It's for the people of Alaska. And to the extent that we can get information out into the public sphere, we should make every effort to do that. But this is, we saw the Stranded Gas Act. This was a conversation we had in House Finance. This is an issue that I'm sure was taken up in Senate Finance and probably just about every committee that the gas line, the 138, went through, which is we do not want to repeat the mistakes from the Stranded Gas Act, where the big proposal was dropped on the legislature's desk. They spent months and months and months in special session and then said, thanks but no thanks, and we went back to ground zero. And then we went through with GEA, and then we went through this. And we want this to continue forward. I very much appreciate, and it's been asked for by the legislature and offered by the administration, this two-way street, this dialogue, this idea that you're going to have the producers going hand-in-hand with the state. You're also going to have the administration going hand-in-hand with the legislature. This thing is going to take a lot of moving parts all working together for us to get over the next 10 or 12 years to first gas. And if you don't have that complete candor between the administration and the legislators at every step, you run the risk of putting all this time and all this money and ending up at the point where the legislature and the administration are not in sync. So I applaud your effort to keep us completely in the loop, and that is where the need for the confidentiality comes in. It is not an attempt to hide any information or hide the ball from the people of Alaska. It is an attempt to make sure that the legislature and the administration continue to go hand in hand, and it's only used and should only be used for information that is truly confidential. But I think it is an important tool, and that's why I chose to sign the agreement and come today. It's, as I mentioned, it's going to be a long process. We're 8 to 10 or 11 years from first gas, if all goes well. This is a project that's going to have to go through a lot of transitions. Saying this as a person who has served in this House for 8 years, this may be my last committee meeting as a representative. I don't know. I've got another month and a half until my term expires, but this may very well be my last, and I'm sitting here faced by two commissioners for whom this is probably their last as commissioners, at least at this time. We're all young. You never know what the future may bring. But this is a project that's going to need continuity, and it's going to need communication. And that is what this whole thing is about, is communication. Communication from one administrative team to the next, and I would encourage the Walker, incoming Walker administration, to take full advantage of getting up to speed and picking the brains of the people in this room. We want to make sure that there's continuity. It's going to have to survive many over the next, you know, this is even if Governor Walker serves two full terms, we're still going to be into yet another administration by the time gas is flowing. So this is going to have to survive a lot of transitions, a lot of coming and going in the House and the Senate, a lot of people coming and going on behalf of industry. People cycle through. So communication is going to be key. Confidentiality is going to be one small part of that. And I just wanted to put that on the record, Madam Chair. And with that, I want to thank the team for working so openly with us over the last several years on this, and wish you all well in your future endeavors. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Representative Holmes. I hadn't thought that it would be your last one, so or maybe your last one. You never know. You never know in politics. Mm-hmm. But thank you so much for your service to our state in many capacities, and we appreciate that dialogue. Representative Hawker.
And thank you, Madam. And I too wanted to take a moment to this last opportunity, I think, at least at this juncture in time, as a legislator, to place on the record my appreciation for all that you, Joe, Angela, Fish, your agencies, and all the people that have worked behind you over these years in bringing it to this point, but all you have done, and thank you very much for your service to the state of Alaska. It's a very personal respect from me on behalf here. I'm thinking especially of you, Joe, where over the 12 years we've worked together on this, we've agreed, we've disagreed, we've agreed, we've struggled to agree. You know, we've had a few moments of vehement disagreement. Yeah, and likewise, we've climbed a lot of mountains and swum a lot of streams together on this over the past 12 years. And I truly believe, and I say it with all the conviction in my heart, that for all we have been through getting us to this point, that we have converged, and we, the legislature, administration, the people of the state of Alaska that an administration represents and that we as legislators represent, we have truly converged on a real solution to that long-held dream of getting Alaska's North Slope natural gas to market in the most efficient and effective manner for the greatest benefit of Alaskans. Like, we've got backup options. In case this doesn't work, this is not a slam dunk, as you've indicated. It can go wrong in so many ways. But I think we, all of us working together, have postured the state with backup options, a primary option, and a very organic way of moving forward to let this project develop the way it needs to develop if we don't throw a little weed killer on it along the way here. But, Joe, sincerely, I want to thank you, your team, especially you, especially Fish and Angela. Thank you for everything you've done for the state of Alaska.
Thank you. Any other comments from legislators? It was a... Representative Costello's last meeting as a representative, but under-elect, as Commissioner Balash reminded me. With that, it is 5:07, and I want to thank everyone for attending. And the LBNA committee meeting is adjourned.